Greg Kelly Show.
Hello. I'm looking live at the White House. Beautiful flags, beautiful sunny day. But unfortunately, Joe is going to come out, and he'll be with the Prime Minister of Japan, who I don't think speaks any English, but we're going to have an easier time understanding the Prime Minister of Japan than we will Joe Biden. My gosh, he is really, really falling fast. This can't go on for much longer. It can't. You know, there's a big rumor going around about him and drugs, right? And, maybe they solved the whole question of the cocaine. You know, it's just not that far-fetched. Why was he so on State of the Union night, right? Remember, he was on. He was on! And he's kind of such a wreck the rest of the time. All right, what are you going to do? Trump is on fire. He just got off the plane in Atlanta, making the case once again. He's unstoppable. They were messing with the wrong guy. And not in their wildest dreams did they think they'd be in this position. So now they don't know what to do. They have no idea. Money's coming in like crazy. He's beating Biden in 6 out of 7 swing states. Yes, he's under criminal indictment in how many jurisdictions? They thought that we would cut and run the moment they brought up that silly porn star, who, oh, by the way, he didn't hook up with. They did not hook up with her. I actually think that Michael Cohen might have hooked up with her. There's substantial evidence pointing in that direction. And you know, Michael Cohen recorded his client, Donald Trump, and gave that tape to the media, to the prosecutors, to the media. It leaked out. Whatever happened to attorney-client privilege? And you can listen to that tape, and you really don't hear anything incriminating. I say, what do you want, Mike? All right, yeah. Hey, can I get a Coke, please? That's literally what he says. They treated it like it was dynamite. What's dynamite is that, once again, they are depriving Donald Trump, of all people, of his civil rights. And ours are on the line as well. They really are. And here's an example. You know, that whole thing with Ashley Biden's diary. You know that they threw that woman in jail. That's really bad. Ashley Biden lost her diary. She left it somewhere. Some lady found it. Finders keepers. And there was some pretty, well, sensational stuff in there, potentially. I don't like to talk about the material because I how I feel. I feel like a diary is private. Other people are going bananas with it. They read the diary. I read the diary, but I just don't like talking about the contents. I did what Desi Arnaz Jr. would do. I would return it to her, and just like he did Marsha Brady. But if you watch that episode, Desi Arnaz Jr. totally inappropriately kisses Marsha. It is an age-inappropriate kiss. Remember the episode where she wasn't going to wash her face for the rest of whatever? All right, so we're in a holding pattern until next Monday. Poor Alan Weisselberg, the accountant, is going to Rikers Island. They're trying to break Trump. The people around him aren't as strong. Michael Cohen lost his mind. However, it looks to me like Alan Weisselberg is pretty strong. I actually don't know why he's going to jail. Do you? What's the issue? What happened? How bad could this guy have been? Is it the taxes with the car? He had a tax bill? You don't go to jail over that kind of stuff. You just don't, unless it's Trump. And it's, how does he go on? He is different. He is totally different from a normal person. And I mean that in the best way. If you ever been around him, he just operates at a different frequency. And you have to. Yeah, you just have to. Can you imagine? Like, I remember going to interview him was like, oh my God, I'm interviewing the president and all these moving parts and this, that, and the other thing. He's being interviewed, not just by me, but by 15 other people. Then he goes to a speech somewhere, talks to 10,000 people. Then he's getting, he's debating the fake news. He's fighting the fake news. Then he's got the indictment. Then he's got to show up in court. Can you imagine a day in the life of President Trump? Seriously. I mean, James Flippin, our problems are light years shy. No matter what the hell we're dealing with, nothing comes close.
Yeah. I mean, it always kind of fascinated me how many people who are detractors of him who want to say kind of like all these things that they perceive he gets out of running for president, or that it's been such a search for power, you know, his desire to run for president. And it's like, this is a guy who's been nothing but pilloried literally from almost every corner. and, you know, kicked out of his home state, more or less, you know, made it to a pariah in his home state. I don't know why anybody would sign up for that.
Well, listen, he's also beloved. I mean, he was elected president. He's on the verge of being elected president again. So it's kind of amazing at the same time. And to do anything these days, you're going to be hated. You know, there's one way to avoid criticism. Okay. There are actually a couple of ways. Do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. You follow those three things, you'll never be criticized. I think Socrates came up with that, by the way. Maybe Plato, his teacher or his tutor. So I love it. And I think he loves it, too. I do. This keeps you going. This keeps the juices flowing. Hey, look on TV. I'm seeing a bunch of anti-Semites take over the Capitol, running around there with this gross red ink on their hands. What the hell is that supposed to signify? Blood? Well, it looks to me like they're disrupting congressional proceedings, and maybe they should be thrown in jail for 3 years, at least in the, and then maybe we'll have a trial in at 3 years after that. I just, the January 6th thing. Ooh. What do you think of January 6th, Flippin? Do you talk about it? Do your friends ever mention it?
I feel like the people that you are connected with that are political in any way typically do have some pretty strong feelings on January 6th. I don't think the average person, I don't think it occurs to them too often to think or worry about January 6th. But yeah, the people who are super political, they continuously fall back on how outrageous it was, right? That it was this coup attempt or whatever, this attempt to overthrow the government.
It's in everybody's hard drive. Like regular people who don't think about politics as much as we do. January 6th is this awful, dark day, and they don't have the bandwidth to consider the truth. They don't have the time. They don't have the inclination often.
And there's also a lot of bad reporting on it, too. Like, I mean, basically, it's routinely bandied about all these cops that supposedly got killed that day, and it just didn't happen that way.
Everything you've heard about January 6th is basically not true, unless you heard it from me and a handful of other people in the country. Tucker Carlson. Just about everybody else, especially when they call it an insurrection, especially when they say Donald Trump incited a riot. It is not true. And it's unprovable because it's not true. Hey, here's something else that's not provable because it's not true. What people were saying about those the parents of that shooter up in Michigan. So they got 10 to 15 years yesterday. Did you see that? The mother and the father of Ethan Crumbly, who was 15 years old when he went on a shooting rampage in his school. One of the reasons why the parents were so villainized was this fake news narrative that took off right after the shooting. Let's see here. Cut 16, please.
The school says Ethan's parents refused to take him home.
His parents refused to take him home.
The parents refused to take him home.
Wrong. That's just wrong. That is not true. I know that from the school's counselor. I know it from a deposition after deposition after deposition. They said the parents did not refuse. We did not actually see it as an urgent matter. There was an option to take him home, but we did not see that as mandatory at all. And we thought, you know what they called him? You know how they characterized him? Mildly sad. He was a mildly sad boy. Mildly sad. That doesn't mean you go to Creedmoor right away or Bellevue, right? I was mildly sad when I was in the ninth grade. I mean, lots of people are. Oh, one other thing, though. It's amazing that they're getting so, well, punished for not getting the son mental health treatment. He should have been brought to a psychiatrist right away. I don't know. I mean, I hear Prince Harry. I hear all these awareness campaigns. They're still working on, we want to eliminate the stigma around mental health, right? We want to eliminate that stigma. Haven't you heard that?
All the time.
Basically, there is no stigma. There hasn't been for a long time, but there's nothing else really to say about it. So they really say that, and they've been saying it and saying it and saying it. Let's pretend for a moment there is some stigma. People are reluctant or whatever. You can't hold that over the parents' head, especially what I know he was doing. He was doodling stuff. It's a very strange case.
It really is. Now, looking into some of the facts surrounding the case, I'm just curious to get your take on. Some people have said that basically the parents didn't do a good enough job keeping the gun secured, the gun that was actually used. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, in Michigan, when you're 15, you can have a gun. It's not off limits for a child to have a gun. You know, they go hunting and stuff like that. So that's not an issue. It's they didn't break the law that way. You know, if you can shoot as a child. I shot when I was in Boy Scout camp. What would have stopped me from taking that rifle and shooting everybody? Right. So, I mean, like, that's not a good example. So, and people have been giving me a hard time. How dare you stick up for them? Oh, yeah. Well, and they say things like, you, they were reckless with the gun, that they were going on vacations too much. These are ordinary, regular people. Never in a billion years did they imagine that their son or daughter. And I will say this again, no mercy, no forgiveness. And I've decided I don't like the victim impact statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because it encourages society to stay mad, right? To stay mad. This shooting happened 3 years ago. So they had the relatives come, you know, of the victims, and it's terrible. But to say, you know, they want the death penalty, or they want this, or they want that, and they got to save that rage because that makes an effective victim statement. So
it also makes kind of like this idea of rage and vengeance part of the criminal justice system, right?
Well, yes, it does. And I think that we are, I want to be better than that. I mean, I want to, nobody ever talks about forgiveness. Nobody ever talks about mercy. And that's not a hallmark of a Judeo-Christian society. Okay. Hey, speaking of, you see what's happening to poor Israel. And Biden last night on the TV says there should be a 6 week to 8 week ceasefire. A 6 to 8 week ceasefire. You know what that's going to do? It's going to allow Hamas to refortify, rearm, reconfigure, to give them a pause, especially now. Israel, if you're listening, please don't do that. I can't believe that this maniac can't go on for much longer. Listen to this. Cut one, please. This is Joe Biden on the Univision.
What, in your view, constitutes the primary threat to freedom and democracy at home?
Donald Trump. Seriously.
You lying scumbag.
Donald Trump uses phrases like, you're going to eviscerate the Constitution. He's going to be a dictator on day one.
You lying sack. Unbelievable. All right. Well, he said dictator. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about executive orders like you do. You threat to democracy, Joe Biden. You're talking about forgiving 30 million people their loans. You don't have the authority to do that. You're the threat to democracy. Man, he really has no respect for us. He's a snob, and he thinks we were born yesterday. And unfortunately, a lot of people are gullible. A lot of people, in a weird way, were born yesterday, and they still believe it. He's cashing in on the admiration, the reverence that a lot of us had for the government for a long time. We assumed it's in our muscle memory. The president, no matter what party, has to be a semi-decent guy, right? That's what he's counting on. That's the residual. He's a thief and a lowlife. And I could get into it on that diary. I could, but I won't, out of respect for the daughter. But there's some very strange dynamics in that family. You know what I'm talking about? You do? Do you?
If you're alluding to showering?
Something along those lines.
Not in a hygienic way.
Not in a hygienic way. Well, look, there was something. That family is screwed up. And meanwhile, you got the Trumps. They're beautiful, beautiful people. Never broke a law, never did anything wrong. Until they get into politics, they're the worst people in the world. All right, there's something else. Well, say, did you notice that the two probes that went to the moon in the past couple of months toppled over? They fell over. As soon as they got to the moon, they fell over.
I knew about
side.
The first one, yeah.
And the second one, too. They fell over. They were top heavy. How the hell did they get designed top heavy with all of our artificial intelligence? You know what it is? Artificial intelligence isn't as good as real intelligence. I'm serious, folks. We do not count yourselves out. The machines stink. I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly.
If you're suffering from ED, you're not alone. 60% of men over 60 have this problem. Help is out there. The professionals at Elevate Wellness can help you be the man you used to be. They've helped thousands of patients and have a 96% success rate. What are you waiting for? Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Your first visit is only $99. ElevateWellnessGroup.com. Help is out there. ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Your health is important. Your sexual health is very important.
And like everything else, it has challenges. As many as 50% of men over 50 have sexual-related difficulties, like ED, low testosterone, and low energy. That's where they come in. Elevate Wellness has real professional and in-person solutions. Call 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. Or visit ElevateWellnessGroup.com and get back to where it started. Office visits only $99 this month. Stop. ED is no laughing matter. This could be caused from low T, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Elevate Wellness can help. 40% of men over 40 have experienced this. Make the call to Elevate Wellness now. 973-354-2276. 973-354-2276. The office visit is only $99 and includes exam, blood work, test dose, and consultation. Call Elevate Wellness. 973-354-2276. Or ElevateWellnessGroup.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh. The joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
This is the Greg Kelly Show.
Donald Trump was set up over this whole Stormy Daniels thing, and no, he did not hook up with her. Here's Michael Cohen. What a total and complete dirt bag. At that time, a practicing lawyer. At that time, Donald Trump's lawyer in a small capacity, but he was acting as a lawyer. Why in the hell would he surreptitiously record his own client and give that tape over to the authority? This is not him, like, you know, into a dictaphone after, you know, writing down notes, you know, memorandum. He's spying on his own client. And I have the tape. You'll hear Trump and you'll hear some joshing. This is Michael Cohen with an iPhone on record. By the way, you should probably just assume you're always being recorded these days. It's so easy. Remember Prince of the City? You had to like wear a wire and you had to have tape and a recorder and a technician to put it on you. Now everybody can do that. Everybody, anybody. All right, let me hear this.
Good. Let me know what's happening, okay? Oh.
Mike's just waiting there.
Maybe because of this, it would be better if you didn't go. You know, maybe because of this, for that one, you know, I think what you should do is get rid of this because it's so false what they're saying. It's such bull.
Doesn't it sound like criminality? Wow.
I think this goes away quickly. I think it's probably better. Do the Charleston thing, just this time. In 2 weeks it's fine. I think right now it's better. You know? Okay, honey. You take care of yourself. Thanks, babe. Yep, I'm proud of you. So long, bye. What's up, Mike?
Great poll, by the way. Yeah. Seeing it. Great poll.
Making progress.
Big time.
And you guys are good guy.
Oh, Pastor Scott?
I can't believe this. No. Pastor Scott, what's happening?
Oh, no.
Can we use him anymore?
Oh, yeah. You're talking about Mark Burns. We've told him
I don't mean that. Mark Burns, can we use him
anymore? No.
Richard Lefrak, I'm sorry. Richard Lefrak just called. We have a chance. He had an idea for you.
Okay. So we got served from the New York Times. I told you this. We were regarding to unseal the divorce papers with Ivana. We're fighting it. Kasowitz is going to
never be able
stop
to
for a second.
Never.
Kasowitz is the real lawyer. Kasowitz is the guy who does all the heavy lifting. Mark Kasowitz. He's a real lawyer as opposed to this taxi medallion scammer who went to, I think he went to Kalamazoo Law School. It sounds kind of like a joke law school, right? Kalamazoo. Anyway, keep going. There's the music. It gets actually more and more exculpatory for Trump every step of the way. Your calls, and why the hell is Joe Biden wearing those sunglasses? It's now cloudy in Washington. He's with the Prime Minister of Japan. You know that's a sign of disrespect in Japan and beyond?
You're listening to The Greg Kelly Show.
Maintain close collaboration through various opportunities, including the Japan-U.S.-Philippines summit, which is planned for
tomorrow. All right, that's the Japanese Prime Minister.
Regarding Russia's aggression of Ukraine, based on a recognition that Ukraine today, maybe East Asia tomorrow, taking the issue as our own problem for Japan, I expressed our resolution to continue with stringent sanctions against Russia and strong support for Ukraine, and we concurred to maintain close partnership with like-minded countries.
Oh, how about some peace there, Prime Minister Kishida? That's his name, Kishida. How about some peace? No one's talking about peace. Well, I'll give him this. The Prime Minister of Japan speaks more clearly than Joe Biden, a lot more clearly. However, there are a bunch of reporters down there, and it's interesting that maybe it'll take somebody from Japan. Japan, are you listening? I would like one of you guys to get up and ask Joe Biden about that crazy laptop of his son's, because the last time he was asked about it was all the way back in 2020 when he lied to the American people and said, it's a smear job, yeah, and 50 intelligence officials say it's a Russian disinformation campaign. It's amazing that the way the White House is structured, he can go an entire term in office and not be asked about that? I mean, that is Orwellian. Is that the word? Orwellian? I mean, we all know about the laptop. He's not been asked about it. Every time I see him, I think about it, quite frankly. All right. So there's that. I would like to go back to the Michael Cohen tape. Can we pick up in the middle of it? This is what's known as a breach of attorney-client privilege. Why would Michael Cohen do this, by the way? Because he wanted to get Donald Trump in some sort of trouble. He was actively plotting against his own client. That sounds like a crime. That's a crime. That's got to be a crime. In addition to getting yourself disbarred, and he did get disbarred, there's that. But not for this, strangely enough. pick it up, please. This is back in 2016, Michael Cohen recording his own client, Donald Trump.
Never, never. Cashless says that they'll ever be able. They don't have a.
Give me a job, please.
They don't have a legitimate purpose.
And you
so
have a woman that doesn't want to see you.
Correct.
So you've been handling.
Yes, and it's
that's
all.
That's been going on for a while.
For about 2-3 weeks now.
All you have to do is delay it for.
Even after that, it's not going to ever be opened. There's no purpose for it. Told you about Charleston. I need to open up a company for the transfer of all of that info regarding our friend David. You know, so yeah. That I'm going to do that right away. I've actually come up and I've spoken to Alan Weisselberg about how to set the whole thing up with
so what are we gonna pay
funding. That, yes, and it's all the stuff, all the stuff. Because you know, you never know where that company, you never know where he's going to be.
Gets it by
correct. So I'm all over that, and I spoke to Alan about it when it comes time for the financing, which will be.
Listen, what financing?
We'll have to.
Hey,
does that sound like a crime? You got a lawyer saying we're going to set up a company. I assume he's going to set it up according to the law. Did you hear the name Stormy Daniels? No. I heard information. I heard a lot of inconclusive things. This is a big component of the case. Everybody went bananas with this. This is going to be featured in the trial that is still going to start next week. Is it really going to start next week? Yeah, they're really going to go through with this charade. Hey, there's something else that came in. Michael Avenatti. Remember that guy? Michael Avenatti was the lawyer for Stormy Daniels. He's actually in federal prison right now himself for trying to shake down Nike sneaker. He was like pressuring him, wanted a lot of money. It was almost like an extortion thing. But he was Stormy Daniels' lawyer, and for a long time, he was like the darling of the Democrat Party. They loved this guy. He even talked about running for president, and he was encouraged to run for president. Well, he's been through a lot, and listen to what he has to say about the case against Trump now. Go ahead.
And you join us at a very newsworthy time. Some of your lawyering led to the exposure of the evidence in this case. The New York trial now will be Donald Trump's first and possibly only trial this year. How do you assess the strength of the prosecution's case?
Well, I think what I'm about to say is going to surprise a lot of people, and that is that, you know, I think this is the wrong case at the wrong time, Ari. I think that the case is in many ways stale at this juncture. You're talking about conduct that occurred some 8 years ago. I think the fact that it's occurring in state court in New York is a mistake. And I think that when you are going to potentially deprive tens of millions of Americans of their choice for the presidency of the United States, whether we agree with those folks or not, or regardless of what we may think of Donald Trump, I think it's a mistake to do it based on a case of this nature. I was hoping, frankly, that there would have been less hand-wringing, less bedwetting, and that the January 6th case would have been filed in a more timely manner. There's no excuse or reason as to why that case could not have been brought in 2021, and it should have been brought in 2021. And had it been brought in 2021, we would not find ourselves in the situation that we're in right now. Now, I know a lot of people have been critical of the United States Supreme Court, and as well as the second, not the second, but the D.C. Circuit.
Yep.
You know, I think those complaints are frankly misplaced.
Wow. Michael Avenatti had a lot of time to think things over. By the way, I'm pretty sure Michael Avenatti and Michael Cohen were fooling around with Stormy Daniels. Well, I have a statement right here denying any kind of romantic activity with Donald Trump from Stormy Daniels. She signed it. So what's the issue here? What's the problem? Remember, they're trying to they did not think it would get this far. They're trying to freak us out over a porn star. And by the way, hasn't it not lost its shock value? It really has. It's just we're not. Hey, one other thing I want to do. I want to reemphasize this. The Crumblies, the parents of that kid up there in Michigan, they never would have been prosecuted if they had been people of color, especially if they were a black couple. No way. There's no way an attorney, a white attorney, would have treated a person of color like this. This is the prosecutor laying into Jennifer Crumbly, cut 15.
You had never taken your son to any sort of mental health professional?
No.
Okay. But you know how to obtain the help?
Correct.
In fact, you have prescriptions related to that?
I do.
So it's not that you didn't know who to call or how to call, you didn't. And in those messages, you are constantly asking him about work, how much money he's making, and what he's doing to obtain employment.
Correct.
Okay. But this is the person you entrusted with a deadly weapon. And it didn't upset you that it bought a gun?
No, it did not.
It upset you that it cut into your Christmas tree shopping time, but it didn't upset you that it bought a gun?
Correct.
Okay. And you know when you say something that isn't true, that's called a lie?
Correct.
Okay.
Going through somebody's text messages, right? Can you imagine that? Alan Dershowitz told me that the founding fathers never, if they knew about a cell phone, they would have designed the Constitution that you can't go into somebody's cell phone. It is like, it is your innermost thoughts, and that should be yours and yours alone. Marianne, hello.
I usually agree with you, Craig, but on this one, did you hear Jeanine Pirro on Sid's?
No, I did not. I mean, she's a real throw the book at him. I've never known her to be. I love Jeanine Pirro, but I could imagine us being totally at odds here. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to start prosecuting. You know, this kid was charged as an adult. He was charged as an adult. Make up your mind. He's an adult or he's a child. The prosecutors already said that. Are we going to prosecute every parent? I noticed that it's not done. I mean, we have mass shootings all the time, especially in the inner city. You know that? I mean, you know what they call Chicago? They call it Chirac, nicknamed after Iraq. Why aren't we prosecuting some of the mothers and or fathers there? All right, Maria. It doesn't surprise. If we were sitting at The View, at the, what do they call that show? The Five? I would disagree with what's her name. Anyway, what's wrong? So what do you think?
I think in certain situations, parents should be held accountable because I think there's an increase in parents not being on top of their kids and what they're going
through. Are you kidding me? Wait a second. Now, what evidence can you cite for that? I remember going to school by myself when I was 6 years old. 6 years old, and we all went to school. First grade, we walked to school. You think that happens now? Parents are everywhere. I used to go to practice, you know, soccer practice by myself. My parents would go to the games. Now you got to go to the practices. The whole society has become obsessively concerned, over the top. So how do these parents, where do they really screw up? Get narrow it down. Right. What do they do wrong?
You going to hear me out? Let me get a word in here. They bought him the gun. Meanwhile,
Marianne, that's not against the law. That's not against the law.
They bought him a gun when he was crying for help. He asked to get mental
help. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Well,
you're wrong, Marianne. You know who he was asking mental help? He was saying to his friends, not to his mom, not to his dad. Mental help. All right. So then what? What? You know, Marianne, this is so wild and so weird and doesn't make sense at all. And it shows you. Do you think? Let me ask you something, because kids do crazy, wild things all the time, and they're insane, half of them, when they do it. Why just these parents? Why not others? Got a theory on that?
We're talking about this case.
Yeah, this case, which is in rural Michigan, in a red county. And you know what these people are being villainized for, in part? Because of the color of their skin. Absolutely. This could not and would not happen, and quite frankly, should not happen to a woman of color, to a man of color, to a white man, a white woman. Racial politics. You got to take another look at this. And text messages to a buddy, to a friend about my family. The counselors themselves said that they don't have an issue here. I mean, kids have issues. Why do you think they have school psychologists? I could bet that. I love Janine, but yeah, I wouldn't see her being on my side on this one. Hey, geez, other people disagree. Linda, hello.
I disagree with you also.
All right.
Hello?
Well, yeah. It's already done. I mean, look. They're going to be in prison for 10 to 15 years. All right. You think that's fair? She said, and I believe her, this could happen to any family. We all know it. Somebody snaps and goes nuts. It's happened before.
So how is buying a gun for a child with clear mental health issues?
What do you mean clear? How do you define, how do you know clear mental health issues? Because he doodled something on a piece of paper once? Have you seen comic books? Have you seen video games? This kid was doodling things, clear mental health issues. Who decreed that? The school didn't decree that, and it was legal for him to have a gun. If you're going to lock up parents for that, you're going to be locking up a lot of parents, and I don't want to live in that kind of country, all right? I just don't. They're going to jail now. Are you satisfied? You know what the most beautiful part of this thing is to me? When she forgave the prosecutors. That was something else. She forgave the prosecutors. How about the lies, Linda? What about all the lies that were said? You know, this stuff right here, because this is where you probably got a negative view of the parents. Listen to this. Cut 16. Every single one of these people is wrong. They're not telling the truth. Cut 16.
The school says Ethan's parents refused to take him home.
His parents refused to take him home.
The parents refused to take him home.
Well, I have it right here from the school counselor that is not true. That they had a conversation, they realized the situation was not a crisis, not imminent, that it was perfectly fine for him to remain in school. They actually said that he seemed moderately sad. I was moderately sad for about 5 years when I was growing up. So I unfortunately, a lot of my people are, I get it. We're tough on crime. We hate crime. This is extreme and this is excessive. Linda, I'll give you the final word, maybe.
Yeah, I want to speak to your commentary about the impact statements that the that some of the family members made yesterday. And you're implying that it's the shooting happened 3 years ago and they should be over it.
No. Look. This was a thing that was not around until fairly recently. All right. It's emotional. And yeah, it encourages, I think prosecutors encourage them to stay mad, to stay furious. I mean, if I don't like it. I don't think it's, I'm sorry, Linda, you know.
Yeah, but grace and forgiveness, you're using yourself as a measure. Grace and forgiveness comes in different
forms. No. I'm using society as a measure. I'm using society. And forget forgiveness. I don't know if somebody hysterically crying, you know, these judges are supposed to be impartial and they got these big books full of laws, right? And some of the statues in the courthouse, guess what they're wearing? Blindfolds, right? They're supposed to be impartial. They're supposed to be above. One of the reasons why we give these some of these justices very long terms, even lifetime terms, is that they don't get too swept up in the moment. But everybody right now is swept up in the moment. And when it happens on our side, I'm going to call it out. I always call it out when it happens on their side. And it happens on their side a lot more. But I'm not comfortable with it, Linda. All right. Listen, I'm sorry. I got to go. I know. You guys, a lot of guys disagree with me on this one. That's the way I feel.
Greg Kelly. Listening to the Greg Kelly Show.
We have not found the guy who pushed that woman down the stairs of the church in Queens. She's still in critical condition. Is that right? All right, let's get the latest from Fox 5. Let's listen very closely to this report. Might be something a little bit interesting, even more so than the regular story, which is interesting and sad. Cut 8.
A woman is recovering in the hospital after a man was caught on camera shoving her down the steps of a church before police say he made off with her car and her purse.
Just a brutal attack here. Good days. Lizette Nunez is live in Briarwood, Queens, with the very latest on this investigation and that search for the suspect. Lizette, good morning.
Good morning, Dan and Tashani. That video, that is hard to watch. And that woman was doing what a lot of us do on Sunday morning, go to church. That woman, 68 years old, and she is currently in the hospital in critical condition. Let's take a look at that video. This was caught on surveillance. It shows the woman going up the church stairs. A suspect dressed in all black is seen running up behind her, and that is when the 68-year-old is punched and goes flying down the stairs of St. Demetrius Greek Orthodox Church. Police say the suspect then takes off with her purse, which had $300 in cash. He appears to continue to rummage through her belongings. He took her cell phone, car keys, and then sped off in her car. The NYPD did put out surveillance video and a picture of the suspect wanted in the attack. The suspect is described as being 18 to 25 years old and approximately 5'8". He was last seen wearing all black and a red hoodie underneath his black jacket, as well as wearing a black mask. I know that's not the best description out there, but that is what police have at the moment. So once again, if police, anyone in the public recognizes that individual, please give police a call.
All right. Well, there's a fundamental problem there. All right. You'll notice everything the guy's wearing, right? Which he can change in 8 seconds. He can take all that stuff off. They're leaving out the race of the perpetrator. And from what I can tell, the perpetrator is a black man. Now, why wouldn't we include that in the report? Because of this crazy mixed up time we're in. If it were a white person, yes, of course, white. It might even be an example of white supremacy, right? White supremacy, white supremacy, white supremacy. Systemic racism. That boogeyman that they created for political effect and political advantage. I hate white supremacy. I hate systemic racism, but it's not a thing. And as far as the white supremacists, there are about four of them out in the woods somewhere. The rest are in jail. And who cares? If they act up, we'll, you know, arrest them if they break the law. In the meantime, you know, that's political correctness gone a little bit too far, don't you think? He's wearing a black mask, black pants. Well, what happens when he's wearing white pants? You know, if you call 911, and I hope that this is still the case, You never know. Maybe they gone woke too. I like the 911 people. You know, I called 911 unusual frequency. If I see something, I say something. I get on the phone and I tell them about it. And one of the first questions they ask, if it's a person that I'm seeing doing something weird or in extreme conditions, like, you know, they'll say black, white, or Hispanic. They want to know. It's like the first thing that they ask. But now we're just going to, wow. Make up your mind. Is it all about race or are we colorblind, right? Remember, you can't be colorblind. That's another form of racism. All right. I got to get out of here in a moment for the next hour. We'll take it up. Dino, what do you have to say?
Hey, Greg, how you doing, Gregster?
Good.
Can I say two things?
One, because the music's playing. What's up?
Okay. We need Trump for president, and we need your father in the cabinet. That's the first thing.
All right. I love it, Dino. Thank you for your support. Keep in touch. I'm sorry. I got to go. There's the music.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.